The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. Traumatic events have a way of shaping our lives. Yeah? And generally speaking, there are two ways in which life can take us when something traumatic happens, especially trauma in our youth. You know, trauma in our youth can be very much, can have a tremendous influence in the way our outlook is on life long term. Never underestimate, you know, the actions of an individual later in life, that when you look in their childhood, you may be able to understand why they behave a certain way, why they act a certain way. And when trauma happens, it generally creates one of two types of people, right? There's going to be one person who, because of the trauma and the difficulties that they have faced in the course of their lives, it will make them closed off, for example. It might make them bitter. It might make them angry. They might not be able to share their love with others as much as they could because they're afraid of that trauma being repeated in their lives. And so that's one way that a person sometimes could become. They could become angry, right? Resentful. But then there is another way, right? And the other way is the person would become more compassionate. They would become more merciful. They would become more loving. They would become more sharing. Why? Because they don't want others to endure what they had to endure, right? Oftentimes people will say that, you know what, because I've been trampled upon, let others be trampled upon. This is an outlook we see in our world, yeah? It's a dog-eat-dog world, we know that, right? And just because one person now came up, they don't try to lift others up. But that's one kind of person. The other kind of person is who Imam Sajjad was, yeah? Even though he endured everything that he endured, we never see signs in him of being resentful. Never, right? We never see signs within him of being angry, of being vengeful even. You know, when we look at even the tariq and the history, that when the revolt in Medina took place after Karbala, Marwan was one of the key figures to get the allegiance of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, threaten him because of the letter that Yazid sent. Yet, when the revolt happened, people went after people like Marwan. Yeah, the Medinans went after people like the Umayyads. And where did Marwan go to? Marwan went to the door of Imam Sajjad. Yeah, this is that same man, right? Again, when we point at people who are key players in Karbala, Marwan was one of them. But yet Marwan goes into the door of Imam Sajjad. And Imam Sajjad guarantees the protection of 400 women and children from the tribe of Marwan. Imagine, no bitterness, right? There was no resentment in the Imam alayhi salam because he knew that that was the right thing to do. And so when I think about that, right, just from a step back, you know, this is not even what I want to talk about today, but, you know, we've all been through trauma in our lives. COVID has been a trauma. Prior to that, we've lost loved ones. We've lost our jobs. We've had hardships. We've had all of these things. You know what? This is part of life, right? Life will throw one hurdle our way after another. We can either fall down and stay fallen down and then try to trip everybody else who tries to pass, right? Or we can get up and remove that hurdle out of the way so that no one else trips on that hurdle. Right? This is a choice that we have. And I think that when we look at the life of our Imam, this is what he teaches us. And I pray that inshallah we will reflect on this and work on ourselves so that we become this beacon of light. You know, we need more light in this world. And what's beautiful about light is that light is not only in itself illuminating, it illuminates everything else around it too. And the more we can become beacons of light, the more we can get closer, inshallah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A picture that gets developed in our minds based on our fourth imam's life is two things. One is his illness. His illness in Karbala, it is repeated so often, and there is no doubt that his illness played a significant role in what happened in Karbala. But what happens is that this illness begins to define how we perceive our imam. Yeah, when we come back to Medina, that when the revolt happened in Medina, Yazid was not silent to that, right? Yazid sent a commander with thousands of people and led by Muslim bin Aqaba, who was a tyrant in his own right, right? Just cold-hearted. And he was given instruction to come and pillage Medina, kill as many people as he can. And so when he came, he squashed the uprising and many people were sentenced to death. And in this, he summoned Imam As-Sajjad, because he knew who he was. He knew that this was next in line from the Banu Hashim. And so Imam As-Sajjad comes to him. Yeah. And when Imam alayhi salam comes to him, when he comes into the courtyard, the narration says, or the historical account says, that Muslim ibn Aqaba stands up in honor. Right? Now this is a tyrant. Right? Tyrants don't stand up in honor for people they're about to punish or about to do harm upon. And he stood up and he says to him, ask me for whatever you need, I will provide it. And so Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, we're saying, was able to intercede for many people who were condemned to death and many people who are going through hardship. And so when he left, the historical account says that the people, his close companions, turned to Muslim ibn Aqaba and said, what happened? Yeah, he said, just a little while ago, you were cursing him and his father. Yeah? And now you changed your entire demeanor and granted him whatever he needs. And he said, I don't know what to tell you. He says that this was not my intention. But when I saw him, his presence filled me with fear, this man says. Yeah? Just the presence of Imam As-Sajjad, right? And so we come back to this point, right? And this illness that the Imam alayhi salam had was not defining. And it's important that it served a big purpose, right? But it was not defining who he was. And I think that one of the things that we have to do, right, as believers, is to not pigeonhole our imams with specific characteristics that we know are repeated about them most often. Each imam did exactly what they had to do because of the environment that they were in at that particular time. Do you understand? Yeah? Each imam did exactly what they had to do because of their zuruf, because of their environment and their circumstances. To put it another way, if the second imam was in the third imam's time, he would have fought in Karbala. If the third imam was in the second imam's time, he would have signed the treaty with Muawiyah. This was not based on personality. Yeah? This was not based on internal qualities. No, they did what was necessary. If the seventh imam was in the time of the fifth imam, it would have been the same. He would have been the spreader of knowledge. And if the fifth imam was in the seventh imam's time, it would have been the same. This point is wonderfully articulated by our eighth imam, Ar-Ridha alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, where he says, Jara لِآخِرِنَا مَا جَرَى لِأَوَّلِنَا. He says that what flows from the last is what flows from the first. Whatever the last do is exactly in line with what the first do. وَأَوَّلُنَا وَآخِرُنَا فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَمْرِ سَوَى. He says the first of us and the last of us, when it comes to ilm, when it comes to knowledge, and then when it comes to the command that they have to fulfill, are siwa. They are exactly the same, the Imam alayhi salam says. But then he adds something really beautiful. Yeah, But he says, وَلِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامُ فَضْلُهُمَا. SubhanAllah. Yeah, but he says, but when it comes to the Prophet and Imam, their merits are something else altogether.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.